This is Native Solidarity News.
Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
In America, everyone has come here from some foreign shore. Restore us to glory. Before us lies the glory. I'm from some foreign shore.
Chris Williamson. This song refers to those ancestors, our relatives, who attempted to take refuge in grandmother's country, what is now called Canada, from the harassment and pursuit of the U.S. Cavalry soldiers. In this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, we share the comments of Dale Marie Standing Alone. Her presentation is from the important and historic gathering entitled International Tribunal of Indigenous Peoples and Oppressed Nations. This forum was convened in 1992 with guidance from the American Indian Movement. Wolf Mountain Radio is honored to present Dale Marie Standing Alone.
I'm very honored to get to introduce this next woman that's coming up. Her name is Dale Marie Standing Alone. She's from the Blood Tribe in Canada. She used to live here in the Bay Area about 10 years ago. She worked with AIM when she was in the Bay Area. She's done a lot of work, and she's continued her work. She works now for the Blood Tribe Resource Center, and she's the coordinator for the research. And she does a lot of research on all the atrocities that are going on in Canada. She's a very knowledgeable woman, very brilliant, and we're very excited to have her here. Here we go, Dale Marie Standing Alone.
I haven't spoken in front of a crowd this large for a long time, and I'm kind of nervous, so the work that I do for the Blood Tribe is I'm a constitutional researcher. I work under the Constitution Committee, which there's four, and then there's another lady that's ahead of me with my position. And what I would like to talk about this evening is our current situation as Aboriginal First Nations of Canada with the Constitution and the current situation where we stand as Indian people in Canada. Prior to the arrival of the non-Indigenous peoples on our lands, our forefathers freely moved over our traditional territories. Our peoples have always been on this land, and the peoples were placed here by our Creator. In 1492, when Christopher Columbus lost his way and found himself on the shores of our lands, the non-Indigenous European people were living in feudal systems under the control of kings. On the other hand, the Indigenous peoples had developed sophisticated governments based upon discussion among the people as to the direction of the tribe. The true development of democracy was among the Indigenous peoples and not amongst the non-Indigenous peoples in Europe. Under international law, Indigenous peoples have all the necessary preconditions to the nations to be a nation. We have our own governments, our own lands, our own territories, our own histories, our own customs, and our own languages. Thus, when non-Indigenous peoples have arrived upon our lands, we had long traditionally established our own governments. Our traditional governments met with the representatives of the non-Indigenous peoples. When the crown of Great Britain came to our peoples, the representatives were bound by their own laws to act in a certain manner. As far back as the 1700s, the English law and policy was, if lands were occupied when contact is made, then the crown must enter into a treaty in order to gain access to the indigenous lands. As a result of this position, the British entered into treaties with indigenous peoples of Canada all over the world and from the Americas, New Zealand, and to Africa. These treaties were entered into because the right of the original occupying nations had to be recognized. We have rights to our land and our governments, our laws, and our languages. These treaties, which were signed with our forefathers, are treaties in the fullest sense of the word. Our treaties were negotiated in good faith between both parties. Our forefathers accepted the treaty commissioners as the legitimate representatives of the Queen of Great Britain. Our chiefs and headmen were the legitimate representatives of our people. When they sat down to negotiate the treaties, each party had a legal authority to enter into such an agreement. And these negotiations, these agreements known as treaties, were authorized by indigenous British constitutional and international laws, which are binding in each party. Treaties under international law are enforceable against the violating party. The difficulty which Indigenous peoples have always had in relation to the enforcement of treaty rights is the State of Canada. We never signed treaty with the State of Canada. Canada, not a nation. It does not have its own territory. It does not have its own laws. It does not have its own language. It does not have its own government. Canada is a creature of the British Parliament process. Canada is a state and came to the existence with the British North America Act of 1867. Canada is a result of the delegated authority. Canada's laws are not a result of the British law system. Canada's laws are a result of the British common law system, which was transferred into the colony of Canada. The State of Canada did not enter and sign treaties as an independent state until 1932. Which the passage of the Statute of Westminster, Canada could not and did not sign our treaties. Under international law, Canada has the responsibility to ensure the enforcement of treaty obligations which were entered by Great Britain's representatives. When the British North America Act was signed and put in place in 1867, Section 91, verse 24, was entered into the Act. Section 91 deals with Indians and lands reserved for Indians. It is under this section which Canada has to ensure the treaty obligations owned by the Crown. However, Canada has consistently used this section to undermine the treaty rights of the Indigenous peoples. The Indian Act, which is an administrative act of Canada, has been used against the Indigenous peoples to suppress and deny us of our rights. The Indian Act is a treaty violation. The Minister of Indian Affairs controls our lives through the Department of Indian and Northern Affairs. Indian Affairs is contrary to the treaties. The Minister of Indian Affairs did not sign the treaties. The Minister cannot change the treaties. When we go to the Minister of Indian Affairs, we reinforce Canada's definition of who is responsible for the administration of treaties. This is not correct. Canada has legal responsibility to implement the obligations and to the treaties, but through the Minister of Indian Affairs and the Indian Act. When the Crown representative approached our peoples, it was done at the request of the Crown. The Crown wanted an agreement and was prepared to go many lengths in order to achieve a treaty. Indigenous peoples entered the negotiations from the position of strength, which we maintain to this day. We are the owners of the land. When we entered into treaty, we agreed to share our lands with the non-Indigenous peoples. In return for the use of our lands, we would receive certain benefits for as long as the sun shines, the grass grows, and the waters flow. The concept of payment for the use of the lands was brought from the non-Indigenous world. Europe was a feudal system where the serf or laborer gave money or produced to the owner of the land. Thus, the benefits which we receive in the areas of health care, education, etc., is really a payment for the use of our lands. The non-Indigenous peoples must pay yearly for the use of lands. In return, Indigenous peoples reserve certain lands for ourselves. The reserve lands are now called reserves, but these lands which are our ancestors kept for us, and our lands are untamed lands upon which our peoples were to live under our own government using our own laws. Under the terms of the treaties, our forefathers agreed to live side by side with the non-Indigenous peoples. We were to live in our own way without interference. What does this mean? Were we to continue living under our own government using our own laws? We did not agree to change our governments and laws to fit inside of the non-Indigenous governments. Any attempt by the Crown to change our government is a treaty violation. When Canada was bringing home its constitution from Great Britain in 1982, there was a lot of discussion about our treaty rights. At that time, the Indian Association of Alberta commenced a legal action in England to protect our treaties. As a result, the treaty decision made in England, our treaties continued, amended by Canada. The state of Canada has tried over the years to get various organizations to agree to amend the treaties. This is not possible. The only people who can change the structure of these treaties are the descendants of the original inhabitants. One of the arguments which was used concerns the treaty itself. Canada said that these treaties were not real treaties under international law. These so-called treaties were really just contracts and not enforceable under international law, and hence not the concern of the United Nations. The United Nations did not agree with the argument put forward by Canada and passed a resolution putting in place the study in 1989. This is an avenue for the international community to hear from us directly on our version of the treaties. It is the opening which many people have been advocating for years, and we should take advantage of the study to add our considerable knowledge on treaty making to the process. The place of Indigenous treaties within international law that is important for us. If the state of Canada is violating our treaty rights, we should be able to go outside of this country to get and readdress the treaties and the violations which have been made by Canada. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why Canada opposed the study. Canada did not want to account the international community on its treatment of Indigenous peoples. We can wound Canada's international image by voicing outside of this country our treatment and at the hands of the state of Canada. We must never forget that we are the ones with the power, not Canada. Our treaties are international agreements because our people are sovereign nations. Great Britain has never challenged on their ability to enter into our treaties. Our nation should not be questioned. When our forefathers entered into treaty, it was to protect the future generations. We have a similar obligation today. We have to think of the future generations. We are prepared to change the fundamental natures of our treaty relationships. We never entered into treaty with the state of Canada nor the province of Alberta. As a matter of fact, the province of Alberta did not exist until 1905, when Treaty No. 7 was entered into in 1877. How can the province have any jurisdiction over our treaty? The province has only been able to gain jurisdiction with our reserve because we have been consenting to the change in our treaty relationship through the agreements with the province. If we are going to protect our treaties, then we must all understand the games which are being played with the treaties. Canada wants to get control over the treaties in our lands. They can only accomplish this task through the domestication of the treaties. What does domestication mean? Our international law principles, a treaty fails to have any international significance. If it can be shown that the treaties are coming under the laws of the state, how can Canada achieve this objective? At the present time, it is through the constitutional process and the amendments concerning our inherent right to self-government. We do not have a constitutional amendment to recognize our inherent right to self-government. Who do you think signed the treaties? We already had self-government prior to the arrival of the non-Indigenous peoples in our lands. Canada, using the Constitution process to pull our treaties under their laws, it's a trick. The real beneficiaries to this process is the government of Canada and the provinces, which had no authority in relation to our treaties. If these amendments proceed, then our rights will be altered for all time. This is the future which we want, to live for our children's children. Our elders left us the treaties to protect us, but we are going to leave for the future we have to protect for our children and our treaties at all costs. There are many strong points which favor our position. There is a complete section dealing with the issues related to consent. Does the Assembly of First Nations have the right to consent to change in our treaties without our consent? The simple answer is no. Canada is using the organization which Canada funds in order to obtain our consent. Only the direct descendants of the treaty signers have the legal authority to change the nature of the treaty. We must all try to see what Canada is trying to do to our treaties. Then we must act in order to protect the treaty and how. First, we must ensure that Canada does not know that we are what we are consenting. And secondly, we must not allow polling stations on the reserve, because if we accept the polling stations, then we are agreeing that the government of Canada has jurisdiction over us. And if we vote yes or no, then Canada will say that we are consenting to change in the Constitution. It is a very tricky situation for us. Many of our forefathers have been in similar situations in the past. And we must remember the children yet unborn before we make our decisions. And going back to the constitutional process, we had international coverage over the Meech Lake Accord that the province of Quebec wanted to become a sovereign nation. They wanted to be considered special people. They wanted special rights because they were French. The first ministers of Canada, Meech Lake, during the Meech Lake Accord, deliberately excluded all Aboriginal peoples. On concerns, the first ministers instead chose to deal with the Quebec's concerns. The Indigenous peoples, the First Nations of Canada, were totally eliminated from this constitutional process. They would not recognize Aboriginal peoples, Canada's first peoples, as special people, you know, and Quebec with the Meech Lake wanted, and we were totally eliminated from the whole process, while ignoring the interests of the First Nations of Canada. However, in the order of the agreement, they needed all the First Ministers to agree that they would give Quebec Meech Lake, the Meech Lake Accord. The process started. They started the whole process, and out of, I would say, 390 to 400 people that sit with the MPs throughout the whole country, there was one Native man that sat among all those people, and he was the MP from Northern Manitoba. He was he's of Aboriginal descent. He attempted to pass to make it become law, the Meech Lake Accord, to give Quebec for them to become a sovereign nation and full independence, full rights, the things that we asked for. And the Prime Minister had already, they just waited for it to pass. And Elijah Harper, the minister, the Manitoba MP, had his eagle feather and waved it among on national TV, and everybody said yes, that they were going to pass the Meech Lake Accord, and Elijah Harper said no. It took one man to stop an entire country. The process was, why recognize Quebec and the French? Why you won't recognize the First Nations of this country? We want to become a sovereign nation also. So Meech Lake was stopped. We're still negotiating with the Constitution. The French are still fighting to become a sovereign nation. We've had three First Ministers' Conference since our the Constitution was brought home. We had one in 1982, 1985, 1987. The only thing I think was, like with the old treaty, the British North America Act, when a non-native man marries a non... When a native man marries a non-native woman, the non-native woman automatically gains full status as a native. She's entitled to all the benefits as any treaty Indian, whereas if I was to marry a non-native man, I would lose my entire status as a native woman. In 1969, a lady by the name of Jeanette Laval started with the Canadian Indian Women's Association, with at that time our Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau, tried to pass a bill saying that they wanted equal rights for Native women that lost their status. And not until the Constitution was brought back in 1985, on June 2nd, the Bill C-31 was imposed and became law. We've got now all the Native women that have lost their status have regained their status because of Bill C-31. So I hope this constitutional process is as good as the Bill C-31 for all Indigenous peoples in Canada. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Dale Marie Standing Alone. Her 1992 presentation is from the important and historic gathering entitled International Tribunal of Indigenous Peoples and Oppressed Nations.
Oh,
You are listening to the American Indian Movement's honoring song. This is Wolf Mountain Press, a documentary program focusing on native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Wolf Mountain Press will present the situations facing Indian peoples throughout the world with native music, poetry, news, and Indian case histories and the struggle to protect Mother Earth and the sacred ways of life of Native peoples. Aho, Kinewintakwesin. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices program, broadcast over Radio for Peace International. RFPI is Global Community Radio. We just heard two traditional songs. The first drum was the Porcupine Indian Singers. The second honoring song featured the fine music from Black Lodge Indian Singers. Thank you. Beautiful indigenous music from the Altiplano, the traditional Andean mountains. I hope you are enjoying this broadcast. We continue our program with a special song entitled I Am, sung by Australian Aborigine Johnny Hockle.
I am born of the land, my soul is a son. Nature is my mother, I am Mother Nature's son. The wind is my spirit, running wild, running free. Water is my mirror, reflecting visions in me. For I am what I am, and I always will be. I am what I am, I am Aborigine. I'm like a great river that slowly runs dry. Pollute me and abuse, and like the river I will die. I'm a child of the earth, created from dust. I live on my land, taking only what I must. For I am what I am, and I always will be. I am what I am, I am Aborigine.
Akwe, greetings. We hope you are well. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Wolf Mountain Radio, as a native investigative journalism program, is active in environmental, cultural, and social justice movements. Wolf Mountain Radio maintains the Minnewaukan News Bureau, a news and information library for networking with the native and international press. Wolf Mountain reports on the situation facing Mother Earth, facing native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world, are available to the Yat Kitishi Native American Center Speaker's Office. They are also available on Wolf Mountain Radio's tape programs. For more information, please contact Wolf Mountain Radio at Yat Kitishi Native American Center. That's Yat, capital Y-A-T, Kitishi, capital K-I-T-I-S-C-H-E-E, Native American Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Ho, Kinawantakwasin to all of our relations.
When the morning breaks and the sunlight warms my soul, in the east the eagle flies and the red tail proudly soars, I'm on my way to the place of the spirit one. Grandfather, hear me now, I am on fire. Let the sun dance down my feet to your desire. Show me visions for my eyes, words like gold that shimmer in the sun. I am, I am, I am.
Hakwe, hello. I would like to thank our listeners for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices program today. This is your host, Ones, and our program on Radio for Peace International time is narrowing its circle. So I'd like to just again say thank you for listening, and we're going to continue to hear the very beautiful music of our sister, Kate Wolf. Until the next program, this is Ones saying, Ho, Kinawantakwasin to all of our relation.
The way of herbs and the flap of the city end. Hi-ya, hi-ya, hi-ya. Turn toward the south like the water I will run.